Romans 8, 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that you have preserved down through time for us and that is eternal. What a privilege we have in hearing it and studying it. And Father, we just pray now that it ministers to our heart as only your living word can. We pray, Father, that you be with our Pastor James as he presents your living word to us. We pray, Father, that we not only hear your word, but we heed it. Father, we just pray that your word lives in us now. We pray that you teach us, Lord Jesus, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. Carry that with you. Amen. I apologize that our screen, I thank all the praise and worship. Oh, no, there it is. But praise God. It's healed, too. All right. Jackie said, I think we burst the bulb in our projector. But anyway, it's on, so praise the Lord. That's great. Another healing taking place, this time a bulb. The title of the message is Obeying the Law of the Spirit of Christ. Now, for those of you that haven't been here for the last few Sundays, this is a continuation of a number of sermons, so I hope that you can get as much out of this as those who've been here previously can. Because what we have talked about is the primary problem in mankind. I don't know if you have coming to understand this or not in your own life more, but you are much more spirit than you are anything else. And what I mean by that is this, that you are not a body with a soul. But who you really are is a spiritual being, a spirit that has a soul and body. And that is such a big difference, because your life is not in this material realm. That's not where your life is. After this body falls away and dies, your spirit immediately, the Bible says, for to be absent from the body, if you are a Christian, is what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit immediately leaves. Over the 43 or 4 years I've been pastoring, I've seen so many spirits leave their body, you know, at the deathbed. And the body is just that inanimate object now that housed a wonderful, beautiful person. But who that person is has gone on to be with God or gone on somewhere else. But that spiritual being is gone. Now, there is the law of the Spirit that I want to speak to you that helps us overcome virtually all of the psychological, emotional, mental, many of the financial problems that we have in life, all of the social problems that we have in life, all of the war against war nations, fighting nations. All that problem exists in its reality in the spiritual realm. That's where all that comes from. That's why when a person gets ultimately right with God and they become saved and their spirit is reborn, they find themselves born again. They find themselves in a new world almost. They see things they didn't see before. They have experiences they didn't, because their spirit has come alive to God. And all of a sudden they are alive to the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. You know that the Bible says that they that worship God must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. This worship service that we've just been enjoying is not primarily musical. It's not primarily oral. It's not primarily our speaking. It's primarily our spirit bearing witness with God's Spirit touching all of our lives. Do you see that? And so there's a law of the Spirit. If you, for example, in the spiritual realm, if you obey the laws of the evil spirit, guess what's going to happen to you? The evil spirits will work in your life. For example, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither, help me with this, neither give place to the devil. Because what happens if you make a place for the devil? He will take it how many times? Every time. See, that's a law. You make a place for the devil, and that's why when you get angry, confess your anger now. How many of you get angry for some time? It'll be good to confess it. Okay, I was waiting for you to raise your hand. You told me that with your eyes, but you didn't want to put the hand up. You know, I know that. But it's good to confess your faults. When you get really angry, you are opening a door that Satan can come in. Now, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. That means don't let your anger erupt in things you say that are hurtful and harmful to the people you love. How many of you, let me see how many of my confessors are going to stay with me. How many of you in your anger have said things you wish you hadn't said and hurt somebody? Praise the Lord. For honest people, let's pray for the liars that sit around us right here and don't join in. Well, see, you were fulfilling a law of the Spirit. You let a place for the devil come in, and he came in. And people who are used to and accustomed habitually to letting Satan have his way in their life, their home is a wreck. You go into their home, it's a wreck. They're fighting all the time. They're angry with one another. It's a hell in the home. But those who have learned to fulfill the law of the Spirit of God have a different home life. They have a different harmonious relationship with their spouse. Their children. They get along with their children better. Now the children have to obey the law of the Spirit too. Amen. I know we had a revival meeting. The evangelist was giving his call. And he said, just give all you've got to the Lord. Several people brought their kids and put them on the altar. They was going to give them up that day. I'm just kidding about that. But I'm not kidding about this. If you fulfill the laws for the devil or demonic powers to work in your life, they will work in your life every time. That's why some of you have very tormenting thoughts. in your life. That's why some of you, when you go to bed at night, you're unable to really get a good night's sleep because they flood into your mind. And you say, well, how did I do that, James? Well, I can guarantee you, you can open many doors in the on the television, on the internet, pornographic sites and different kinds of things. And if you do things like that, I'm telling you, you're ruining your family life. You're ruining your life with your spouse. You're ruining your children's life. When you open the door, how many would do that if the devil was standing right outside your door and say, hey, Brother Paul, I'd like to come in and just ruin Letha's life for a week. Would you let him? Well, you'd take your gun out and shoot him right off the porch, wouldn't you? But sometimes we do these things fulfilling the laws of that our flesh just loves for us to do. And so we fulfill the laws for the evil spirit to work in our life. If you recall I'll never finish this sermon, but I'll get to it in 2 or 3 weeks. But here's the thing. Do you remember when we were studying Romans chapter 7 a few weeks ago, and I told you this, that Paul said he was so filled with this war that was inside of him that he wanted to do good, but he couldn't. He wanted not to do evil, but he found himself doing the very thing that he didn't want to. Did you know there was World War III going on inside that man? At that time, the Spirit of God was working in his life, but the spirit of Satan or Beelzebub or Rottenwood or whoever else the demon's name might have been was really at war inside of Paul's mind and in his thinking. And he said this, he said, so I find this law working in me that the moment I want to do good, evil is present with me. Man, as I studied that text, those phrases stood out so much. And I realized that that was more to that phrase, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Because what I've just learned more deeply than I've ever learned before in the last few weeks, I think, is this, that evil is not something. Evil is someone. That evil is not just a purpose. Evil is a person. When the Bible says, and Jesus taught us to pray, and he taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when he finished up that prayer, he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Do you know the Greek words there that is translated, but deliver us from evil? It is literally deliver us from the evil one, the evil person. Who is the evil person? Satan is an evil person. He is a person without a body. His demon friends are persons without bodies. They are spirits. You are a spirit with a body. You are a person with a body. But one of these days when you die, your spirit will be released. But where will your body be? It'll be under for a while until God gives you his new resurrection body to be united with your spirit. But the point I'm trying to make here is evil is a person. As I begin to really reflect on that, I thought how crystal clear that is. How many of you have ever known evil without a person being behind it? A person is always behind evil. If somebody speaks evil about you and people begin to talk about you in an evil way, who's behind that? People, persons are. But who is behind the persons, the human beings that are adding to the fuel to the fire? Other persons without bodies, Satan, demonic spirits. Now, if I scared you today, please come back next Sunday and I'll help you out. I'll get you over this. But you need to be aware of the facts of life in the spiritual realm. The Bible says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood people, with another human being. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Where? In heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, persons without a body. That's an answer to why a demon spirit wants in a body, because he don't have one and he wants one. That's why those demons that were cast out of the man who was so filled with so many demons that his name was Legion, the demon said. And when did they want to go? They said, there's some bodies over there. And so they said, let me go into the, let us go into those bodies. See, they don't like to be, they want, that's why they hang around places hoping people will let them in. And I believe with all my heart and soul that these mass murders that take place, that these people who love to do things to children, that those who can disembody members of the human race and treat them like they were meat are totally possessed by demonic spirits who have entered their bodies and is using them. There's not a psychological, sociological explanation for why some human beings do the evil things they do. Evil is always originated in a person's life. And you can become evil if you let Satan have his way in your life. Or you can learn what we're going to start learning today, and we won't finish this sermon, I'm sure, but we'll make a ways into it. You can learn the law of the spirit of life. I feel led to let's ask somebody to pray. Tom, where's that microphone? Okay, I'd like someone to pray who feels led to pray for us that God will really speak to us. Maybe it's somebody who says, I want to really learn this, but I'd like for all of us to pay attention really deeply to what we're about to share. Who will pray for us?
Father, we love you so much, and Father, we know without a doubt that we're in the presence of Jehovah. Father, it's been such a wonderful service, Father, and we're just looking forward to this new message, Father, that's going to shed so much light, because, you know, you said that we are the salt and the light of the earth, and Father, we're just going to pray, Father, that this message is going to turn around a lot of lives, Father. It's going to open up windows that are going to be windows to heaven, Father. And for all this, we're going to give you the thanks and the praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. The reason the law doesn't deliver someone, and we studied about the law, and we understand that we as Christians are delivered from, we're not under the law. A lot of people don't understand what that means. But it means the law really doesn't have a power over you because you're not under it, the law. You're above the law now. What that means is something has happened to you that you don't even need the law to tell you what to do. You know what to do. The law is in your heart because the Spirit of God has come into you and you would not want to do what the law ever says that you shouldn't do. In other words, the law was never able to deliver us from ourselves because it really could not. There was not a power. Even though, how many of you know to do the right thing, just that knowledge does not give you the power not to do it? How many of you have known you shouldn't do something, but you did it anyway because you did not have the power not to do it? So the law could not give you that power. The law was never able to give you that power. It could not deliver you from sin or from your Satan or from yourself. How many of you know, as pretty as you are, as handsome as you are, as talented as you are, you need deliverance from yourself? Amen. Because there is such a selfish power inside of us that the Bible calls sin that we have to be delivered from it. And on the cross, Jesus did everything that would not only pay the penalty so that you would not have to pay for the penalty of sin, but he also did enough so you can escape the power of sin and you don't have to be pulled into addictions anymore. You don't have to do the things you hate and you can do what you want to do. But the law cannot help you do that. It is the Spirit of God that comes in you that can help you do that. And you have to learn the law of allowing the Spirit of God to take possession of your faculties and who you are and give yourself ultimately to him. Now, Jackie, can we read the Amplified Bible in Ephesians? I wanted you to see this because as I say this, there are question marks in people's minds who says, I don't think the devil's ever worked in my life very much. I don't want to ask you to raise your hand because everybody would laugh at you. Because Satan has worked in every one of us a lot. As a matter of fact, Jesus said he came to destroy the works of Satan. And those works are works that he did in your life ever since you was a little boy, a little girl, all the way through life. Satan's been working in your life. That's why some of you are frozen in bad attitudes. Some of you are frozen in bitterness. Some of you are frozen into depression. Some of you are frozen in resentments and things and unforgiveness that you can't shake off, because that's the work of Satan. He doesn't want you to forgive people. He doesn't want you to be a generous person. He doesn't want you to be without resentment. He wants you, instead of being bitter and thinking all negative things about your life and future, he wants you to understand that your future is just as good as God is if you follow him, that he has a destiny, and he wants you to have those. Now, what I wanted to say in this, in the Amplified Bible, because it brings out some of the Greek meaning of the scriptures that we can understand it, that the Bible says here, "And you has he made alive when you were dead by your trespasses," or "in your trespasses and sin." What you were dead to before you were saved was God. You were dead to the Spirit of God who was able to live in your life. And so he says, at one time you were dead with your trespasses and sin, your selfishness. But he says, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. Now, the course and the fashion of this world is what the world offers you. It's the lust of the flesh. Help me with these. It's the pride of life. It's the pride of your the covetousness of your eyes. That's the course of the world. That's its main course. It has three of them. And so at one time, that's what you went for. How many of you used to go for all of those things? But it says, go back, Jackie, just to the previous verse there just a minute. In which at time you walked according to the fashion of the world habitually, the tendency of this present age. Now roll over and show this other part of the verse. Following the prince of the power of the air. Do you see that? That we were all following Satan, who is the prince of the power of the atmosphere around this world in the heavenlies, in the place wherever Satan dwells. You were obedient and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. Go on up. Careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. So you see, what does that say in effect? And what I'm trying to let you see is that every person who's ever been born in this world is open game to the devil. And he works in every person's life. Two of my grandchildren, Brock and Rhett, were at our home once, and they were just toddlers. They could just barely walk. Now, I want to show you how young, how quickly Satan works in the life of children. And the prince of the power of the air offers suggestions to children, to adults, and he feeds their heart and mind full of that. They were just learning to walk, and they were in our backyard. And we had some stones around a little patio that led to the swimming pool. So Rhett was walking on those stones like this, just barely could walk, and here comes Brock right behind him. And Brock reached out and pushed him, and he fell down. And he was getting up, and I said, "Brock," no, I didn't say anything at that point. And then on Brock's face, when he pushed him, here's what I saw going through his mind. "I didn't know I can do that. That was fun. I'm going to do it again," as soon as he gets up. And when little Rhett got up, this diabolical expression on Brock's face came up of evil delight, and he went and shoved him down. Do you think Adrian taught him to do that? Caleb? Well, maybe. Maybe Caleb. Where did that come from? You tell me. What does the Bible say where it came from? It came from an evil person that was already working on them to bring harm and hurt to other people in their life. Satan uses instruments of unrighteousness just the way that God uses instruments of righteousness. Did you see that? And the evil spirit that the Bible says works in every person, all people. Ever since we were old enough to understand anything, that's why good parents bringing their kids to church are helping them so, so much. So they can understand the divine conflict, this angelic conflict that's been going on for eons of time. and to understand we need to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they can get a clue quick. And man, we've got some kids that have hardly sinned at all. Well, we can hardly say that, can we, you know? But, you know, Morgan, she's sinned a lot more than she thinks she has, but she's really gone through life not sinning much. Is that true, Tanya? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, I know it. She's got better parents than you had. That's the reason. Yeah, yeah. I've been waiting to say that a long time because that's what I told my dad once. He said, don't be whipping those kids. They don't need whipping. I said, yes, they do. He said, I didn't have to whip you kids as much. I said, I know, but they got a better father than you had. You know, so he said, what? You know, and so he didn't like that very much. All right. Okay, well, let's look then. How do we let the law of the Spirit of life? In these, the four things that I have, and I'm going to cover them quickly in number one because I want to get down to number two in your sermon. What the law does do, it reveals the righteous character of God. It does that. It shows you the way you ought to live, but the law does not give you the power to do it. But it shows you what you deserve by what you have done. There's a divine law and divine justice, and we need God's mercy, and we don't want God's justice on our sins, do we? We want His mercy. But listen to what the Bible says about that. It says in Hebrews, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And so what he's saying is this, every disobedience of the law deserves a payday, deserves retribution. You know, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. What an atrocity. And somebody said, yeah, and he never had to pay for it. Oh, yeah? I'm telling you, he had to pay for every one of the 6 million. And he's paying for that today, somewhere. You don't get away with anything if you don't come unto the loving influence and mercies of God. Because a just recompense of all of us, if we were to have our sins unveiled this morning, I would not want them to be seen, would you? And if we had all of that judgment that our sins deserved, how would we escape if we neglect God's salvation and we don't come to Him for His mercy and His so that His justice can be satisfied? Now, the law also gave blessings. If you can do the law, you get blessings. In the book of Deuteronomy, man, there are plenty and they are still available. All the law that says if you do so-and-so in the Old Testament, all those blessings are still available as you do those things. He said you can have heaven on earth if you'll just do what the law says. But alas, we can't do it. We tried. How many of we fail in some respects? But the law also had curses upon them. Listen to what the Bible says. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of God. But it shall come to pass that if you will not hearken to His voice of the Lord God to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command this day, then all the curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now those curses are just as bad as the blessings were good. And if you read in the book of Deuteronomy where they are found, you will see that the children of Israel transgressed the law over and over, and all of the curses that the law had in them fell upon them. Now here's the good news, it's in my sermon notes somewhere, that all the blessings of the law are still there. All the things that the law says, God will respond to you if you will obey His commandments, and all the things that Jesus said for us to do in the New Testament, God will respond with great blessings. But the law, here's the good news, Jesus died to save us from the curse of the law. He took away the curse of the law as we follow Him, and we'll show that in a couple of verses of Scripture that we read in just a few minutes. So the blessings of God are all still there, but the curses of the law are taken away by the gospel. Jesus was cursed Himself and died on a tree so He can pay the curses for us. Do you see and understand that? know this is kind of heavy stuff, and you'll need to take this outline home and study these verses of Scripture. But I want you to understand why the law itself could not deliver you, but the Spirit of God can. Now, here are some laws of the Spirit in the second part of your outline. The Bible starts off this passage that Tom read, that therefore there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, to those who walk after the Spirit. That is, they learn to obey the laws of the Spirit. They learn how to live and walk and habitually order their life with the Spirit of God leading them and guiding them. Now, let me read this verse to you. Under the D part of your outline, the Scripture says that the law was given to us to be our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And what we're getting at here is this. Our failure is good in life inasmuch as it teaches us that we cannot do this ourselves. We cannot live righteously enough for ourselves. And it acts as a school teacher or a schoolmaster, what they did, they would take the hand of the little child that they were given authority over, and they would lead that little child to the rabbi school, and they would put them in the rabbi school where they would be taught the Word of God. They were a schoolmaster to lead the children to the place of being taught. The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus Christ, who is the one that teaches us how to follow Him in the spiritual realm. You got to have more going for you than just a head knowledge about what God says. You've got to have the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God in your life to help you in life. This is why some people come to church, but they don't have the power to live their life when they leave the church, because they don't have the Spirit of God in their life, or else they don't know how to obey the laws of the Spirit and follow the Spirit in their life. Now, I want you to stop and ask me questions. Morgan, you're looking like you might want to ask a question, do you? And if you do, because I really want, and when it's time to go, I'm going to do like I heard recently that Liz Taylor told her seven husbands, I'm not going to keep you long, you know. I won't keep you overly long. Where's the microphone in case somebody wants to ask a question? Okay. Did you want to ask a question? You were just thinking about this? Right. The law teaches us we cannot do this ourselves, but it brings us to the one who can do this. It brings us to Christ. It's like Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, dead to the law, you see. I'm crucified to Christ, but nevertheless I live, and yet it is not who? Not I, but who is it? It is Christ who's living in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the law teaches us we can't do it in our own effort, but it leads us to the one who can. It puts us in union when we come to believe in Jesus Christ and He lives inside of us. My brother Don, he had his little grandson years ago when he was just a child. He said that he came up to me and said, Papa, I'm going to be baptized. And he said, well, you know, I want to baptize you someday. But he says, you've got to have Jesus in your life. He said, I know that, Papa. He said, he was in there the other day for a little while. And that's the way a lot of people are. They don't have Jesus in their life. They just come to church and they get kind of emotional for a while. And then they go away, but Jesus is not in them. But I want to tell you, Jesus has been in my life now for a long time. And every time I do wrong, every time I jump out of that circle, Carolyn is wrong. Carolyn don't have to tell me about it. God tells me when I'm doing wrong. Does He not tell you? Yeah, and He immediately puts me back on the road to where I am, letting Him help me live the way I should live. And so there has to be some habits that you develop in life. And let me give you a couple of these as we continue down through our passage. When you obey the Spirit, you are filled with a power greater than the flesh and the law. In other words, the law tells us what to do, but it doesn't give us the power to do it. But when we obey the Spirit who is in us, we suddenly have the power to do everything that the law told us to do and even more, much more. In other words, Jesus said, you know, the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But what did Jesus say was a higher law than that? He said, but I say this to you, that you should not even look at a woman to lust after her in your heart. If you do that, you've already committed adultery. Do you believe, gentlemen, that the law can help you not resort to mental adultery without the help of God? I don't believe he can. Years ago, I learned that passage in my heart, and I used it just yesterday. I'm going to be very frank and open with you because I want you guys to get this. Carolyn had just gone in Hobby Lobby. She stays in there an inordinate long time. And so I have to drive around the parking lot and find some place to park. And so when she comes out, I can be there. So I finally found a place where I had a good view of the doors and a good view of everybody else. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Not even thinking of those terms. Well, I was sitting there in my car waiting for Carolyn to come out. And a beautiful, young, attractive woman in a very tight sweater that showed a lot of cleavage came walking, bouncing along into Hobby Lobby. I have a habit when I see something like that. I look away and start praying for that person. Because I know that if without the power of the Spirit of God in my life, I will look at every bounce. And I'm telling you this for two reasons. Number one, you ladies should not wear stuff like that. You absolutely shouldn't. You injure your men friends and other men, and you take advantage of them, because I know how every man thinks, and I'm fixing to show you. You men who are honest and think the same way I do, would you lift your hand? I know it's hard to do that, guys, but it's thank you for doing it, because it's absolutely true. Now, when that happened, I made this decision when I was in my 30s. And I got this from a verse that I think I've heard Tom quote a good bit, so perhaps he's done the same thing. He was quoting Job, who said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look onto a maid to lust after her. Do you see that? Who said that? Job. What did he do? He made a covenant with his eyes to let God help him not do that. And so he had a covenant with his eyes, so I thought, well, that would be a good way to do it. Well, about 10 minutes later, I was still looking for Carolyn, but she wouldn't come out, but the other girl did come out again. So once again, I had to look away and go through my prayer. I had a good prayer time in the truck that afternoon, I tell you. But that is obeying a law of the Spirit. Do you see that? If I would have just decided to enjoy the view, I would have been favoring my flesh, allowing my mind to be conformed to the world, which is all about the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the pride of things like that. And I don't want that. Do you, men? I want to have good thoughts about all my sisters in Christ and about everyone, and I want to be faithful to my wife also in my mental life. And so that's one of the laws of the Spirit, habitually obeying the urgings of the Spirit. Because you know who said, James, look the other way and pray? Do you think it was the devil? No, it was God, the Spirit of God leading me to look the other way and pray. And I obeyed that urging inside of me. And I want to tell you, while I prayed, I did have one or two thoughts about, you can look just a little bit. But that, who do you think that came from? What if I would have done what that voice said? I would have looked a lot longer probably. Do you see? I'm opening my heart up to help you guys. I hope you appreciate it. And I want to tell you, I'm not a lustful old man. Because all these other men are in the same boat that I'm in. And I'm just trying to teach them to follow me and to follow the Lord. So anyway, what I'm saying to you, and you women, don't laugh like you don't have any problems ever either. I want to tell you, I can get on you too, you know. But okay, so we have to obey this Spirit's urging, and that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means you habitually, day by day, walk through life making these little decisions when the Spirit of God urges you to do a certain thing, so you're walking, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. If the devil says, no, go over here, you, no, no, I want to go do what God says. Let me show you. God has created and engineered all of us to be very responsive to habits. We are all creatures of habit. A friend of mine, a pastor, he said, what you develop, a habit can be your best friend or your worst nightmare. If you develop a habit of lust, habit of going to the computer and getting on those sites and look, and you develop a habit of doing that, you're going to be caught, and one day your sin will find you out. You'll do something, you'll go too far with it, and you'll be caught. But if you go away from that and develop a habit of, just as soon as something flips up in the computer, go to something else, or some TV show comes on that's X-rated or something you ought not be looking at, you turn it off, or you turn it to something else. You've got to have habits in your life. Listen to this. This pastor friend of mine, what time is it? Seriously, what time is it? I've got to baptize a bunch of folks. 11:40. Okay. My pastor friend, he had a death in his church family. This godly couple, they lived in a two-bedroom, one-bath house. They were really a godly couple. They said, Brother Lawrence, or whoever he was, died. Can you come? Oh, he said, I'll be right there. So he said when he came, it was so filled with people that he could barely get the door open. He said he walked into the living room, and he was just like this, and he was looking for the widow to pray with her and to comfort her. And so he looked everywhere. He said, where's Sister Sue, or whatever her name was? And said, well, she's right back there in the bedroom. Some people are praying with her. And so he went in there. He said all the bedrooms were filled with people. And they were drinking coffee, and they were there to help her. They were godly people. And when he came to the door, she said, oh, my pastor. And she went, and he said, is there any place we can have any privacy? She said, what about the bathroom? And so they went into the bathroom. He said, she sat down on the tub, and he sat down on the commode. He said they had this really good talk and how much they loved him. And then he said, let me lead us in prayer. And he said that he led in prayer, and then they both stood up and he flushed the commode. You know. And he said, habit. I'm trying to tell you, see, we're creatures of habit. He said, it's pretty embarrassing. And he said, she kind of looked at him, and then they laughed and walked out. But when you have habits, they guide you. They pull you along. Do you see what I'm saying? And so when you let the Spirit of God form these habits in your life of getting into this book or in the morning when you get up and you spend time in it, it becomes a habit. Then you don't. Job said, I have esteemed thy word greater than my necessary food. He said, I've got a greater habit of getting into God's word than eating. That's pretty big, isn't it? We're going to stop here. I'm a little bit 10 minutes longer than I want it to be. But we're getting started with the laws of the Spirit. If you learn the law of the Spirit of Christ, one day you will sail through temptations that used to pull you down. One day your mind will be so free of depression, so free of wanting to do the bad thing. You know, this is the truth. Sometimes I just ask God, is there anything good I can do for anybody today? I'm not thinking about myself. I used to be so selfish. You know Carolyn's told you all that. She should not be. She should stop it sometime, but she tells us that. And I used to be. I know I was. But, you know, I really get more joy now. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what God can do in a person's life. I actually get more joy when I see somebody else succeeding in their life than me. I get so much joy when I see a husband and wife loving each other. I can't tell you how that thrills me. When I see a person getting over out of financial difficulty, I think, praise God for that. Hallelujah for them. Praise God that you're helping them, Lord. See, because that's the spirit of who? That's the spirit of Christ. So that when you see somebody who's in need, your heart goes out to them with great compassion, because it's not you, it's Christ in you. And you just want to do something to help them. Do you see this? If you will obey the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, you will be so free and you'll be so much better off that you'll say, I wish that I had learned this 20 years ago. Let's bow our heads here for just a moment. Those of you who are being baptized, you can be dismissed if you would like to, back to the back. Brandon, you would need to go and kind of help out back there. And others, if you're here, though, these last few moments are dedicated to you who may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, you don't have an opportunity to walk in the Spirit if the Spirit is not in you. But the Bible says, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his, meaning that if the Spirit of God hasn't come into your life, you're not saved. If you only live for yourself and think of yourself primarily, you've never known God, and you need to turn your life over to Christ. You say, well, I haven't been totally selfish. Well, good. But have you come to God and repented of whatever selfishness that's in your life and asked God to save you and to help you and put your faith in Jesus Christ and make Him the boss of your life? If you've not done this, I'm asking you to do it in these last few minutes. And I wouldn't ever embarrass you or ask you to come down to the front or do anything like that, but I'm asking you to make a decision to this invitation to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of your life and to put your faith and trust in Him. And you don't have to shake my hand and you don't have to fill out any kind of card. You just need to follow Jesus with a real, sincere, genuine decision. Jesus said that you must repent if you ever get into heaven. I tell you this, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To repent means you've been going your own way like a sheep that's gone astray, but now you're turning back to God. You have to put your faith in Jesus. The Bible says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. The Bible says you must make Jesus the boss, the Lord of your life. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you won't do what I say? Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do many wonderful things? Wasn't we on the television preaching? And then He said, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And I mean by that, not that everybody on television who preaches is not saved. But I'm saying just because a person says that they're saved, just because they are religious, it doesn't mean they really know God. You have to make Jesus your boss. If you'll do that today, you can be set free to begin to live a life that will really be so good for you in the years ahead. And you start with a prayer like this. Repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sin. Today I asked you to come into my heart and save me. Today I'm going to make you my new boss. You're going to be the Lord of my life. What I know I'm going to fail, but I'm going to try to do what you tell me to do as much as I know how. Thank you for saving me today. If that prayer is in your heart, you whispered that prayer in your heart, would you lift your hand up? That's all I want you to do. Just lift your hand up and hold it up for just a moment. Is anybody?